KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Portland is blessed with an amazing literary community. Could be for a wealth of reasons. Our independent bookstores, the perfect for reading weather, the world-class coffee, annual traditions like the Portland Book Festival, all attractive for those engaged in what can be a lonely pursuit. But don't overlook the influence of another annual tradition, the Portland Writers Picnic, which started back in 2014 and, despite a few years lost to COVID, is still going strong. In fact, the 9th annual Portland Writers Picnic takes place this Sunday, September 7th at Laurelhurst Park from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And if you're a writer in or around Portland, you're invited. We're fortunate to have three of the picnic organizers and literary luminaries in their own right, Steve Arndt, Gigi Little, and Carmel Brannick, live in the KBOO studios to give us all the details. Steve, Gigi, Carmel, thanks for being here for what's become our own annual tradition.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Steve, first a little background on the Portland Writers Picnic. You were there for the first one in 2014, and I think it was your idea?
The idea was mine, but it found a home real quick with Gigi Little and some others in our writing group. So it wasn't hard. I think Portland is, our writing community already kind of knows without thinking about it, that we have a special collectiveness. And so it's not hard to get something like a picnic going. You just need to get it announced, and you need to have maybe a couple of years where it becomes familiar with everybody. But these people are already for something like this.
Oh, yes, it definitely seemed. I mean, this is your 9th one, so obviously it's caught on.
Well, we go to readings.
Uh-huh.
We get 20 minutes before the readings to say hi, 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 because we would love all these people. We want to talk to them. And then after the readings, we got another 20 minutes before everybody goes home and hi, hi, hi. This picnic is agendaless. There's no plans for a book reading or anything like that. It's purely for writers to get to know other writers. And really, we would love to have more entry-level writers come in and find what's waiting for them in this very safe and kind community.
Well, when writers talk to you about their experience at the picnic, Steve, what are you hearing the most?
One thing I heard the other day at a reading that I didn't acknowledge to the two people, but two women were talking behind me, and they said, "Oh, I met you. Oh, I met you at the writer's picnic." That's what I want to hear, something like that. And but what we talk about, it could be anything. How's your daughter? How's your dog? What are you working on right now? How's that particular problem you were having with that one scene? You know, it might be very particular, or it might be just enjoying each other's smiles and laughter. That's as important as anything else we might have in the way of a writing community. You might have a community where they study writing, they have different programs that study writing. This is just enjoying your community.
It's just a get-together where people get to know each other.
Yeah.
Gigi, what's involved each year in planning the writer's picnic, prepping the site in Laurelhurst Park, and getting the word out?
I mean, it's sort of a... Because we've been doing it so long, it kind of runs on its own steam at this point. You know, we have our, you know, the supplies that we always keep on hand and have ready to pull out. And I make a little graphic and, you know, share it on social media. And that's sort of how we start to get the word out. And most of the stuff, I mean, we have to, you know, get permission to use
the
parking
area.
Yeah. And then just we will get there early on Sunday and you know, clean everything up and put out the tablecloths and putting out the food, and you know, yeah, it's kind of a well-oiled machine at this point.
Yeah. Well, 9 years, you know.
Yeah.
That happens. Now Steve mentioned one of the things he wanted most was to attract newer writers, mm-hmm. People who haven't been to the picnic before. Given the popularity of the event, you no doubt have writers who return every year and those who know each other maybe through writing groups, book mm-hmm. events. How do you attract writers who might be new in town or possibly new to writing?
That's hard. That is hard. I guess the biggest thing is word of mouth. And thanks to you, hopefully people out there will be listening today and will say, you know, I mean... You don't have to have a book, and you don't have to have a published story. You don't have to have anything. You just have to love to write and want to write.
Now, Carmel, remembering back to your first writer's picnic when you were kind of a novice here and concerns you might have had, How do you and the other organizers make first-timers feel welcome and part of the community?
Well, we always keep an eye out for anyone who we feel is new to the picnic, and we'll welcome them over, you know, introduce them to other people, chat with them, make sure they're comfortable, show them where the food is, and everyone's so nice and friendly and welcoming. I think it's just one of the most welcoming events there is, so I don't think anyone has to be too anxious about it.
Now, you have a completed manuscript, a memoir titled Briefly I Knew My Mother, and you're currently looking for a publisher, a situation common to almost all writers at some point. Do you find the picnic a good place to exchange ideas and suggestions? Steve mentioned it's kind of a mix of shop talk and, you know, how you doing, or
Yeah, absolutely. I love that part of it. And as Steve and Gigi mentioned, it is definitely a place where people chat about anything, but often the writing and the work and the project we're working on at the moment does come up. And I've talked to other writers about querying and about agents and about how we got into writing and, of course, what genre we're writing. And it's just a very great place to exchange ideas and support each other.
And there's some experts there. I know. Earlier in the year I did an interview with Laura Stanfill of Forest Avenue Press on her book Imagine a Door, which is basically a guide for writers.
Exactly.
Through all these stages of the manuscript.
Yes.
Now, Gigi, speaking of completed projects, you have a debut novel coming out in October. I'm very excited about it. Who Killed Won the Gun, from Portland's Forest Avenue Press, Laura Stanfill's press.
Yeah.
It has its roots in your love for old-time radio, especially the detective shows of the 1940s and 50s, including my personal favorite, yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
That's one of my favorites, too.
Can you give us a preview of the book?
Oh, gosh. I would just say that it is, it's a murder mystery, like you say. It's also, it's a genre bender, as they say, because it also is sci-fi, because our protagonist is in a time loop. Also, the people in this place, which is maybe kind of America, but not America, everybody's name is a number with a rhyme. So Who Killed Won the Gun? A friend told me recently that my title gave him an aneurysm.
What's the connection, though? Is it
Won the Gun is the name of the first character. That's the detective. To the True Blue is his assistant.
Oh, but what's the how did he get the aneurysm?
His brain exploded, I guess. He didn't understand. You know, it's a strange title, I guess, you know, to sort of clock. That's a total pun. I did not mean to pun, but there's a lot of clocks in
it's unique
as well. Yeah.
Well, I'm really looking forward to reading that, and that comes out in October.
Yeah.
Now, Steve, Gigi told me she's also working on a project with you, a collection of your writing, essays, poetry, fiction, and I love the idea, Steve Arndt Anthology. How's that coming along?
It's been a very busy year for Gigi, so we found time. I would go over to her house, and we go through our different pages that I've got. Essays or poems are, you know, bits from my novel. I'm comfortable with it, but it does, to me, feel a little uncomfortable to kind of say, here's a guy who hasn't finished a book, but we're going to go ahead and...
Well, you're excerpting from a 700-page novel, so whether it's finished or not, that's a lot of writing, Steve.
Yeah, well, in any case, I'm glad I wrote the book, whether it ever got published or not. People got to realize that. If you wrote a book and it never gets published, you can lean on that quite proudly if you've written a book. And I feel that way. I feel like in that novel there wasn't one throwaway sentence, that I thought hard for every sentence within the realm of what the voice might say in his world. And
now you also have another project that's not a writing project so much as a kind of a celebration of writing, and that's your Spanbowerians?
Yeah.
Kind of readings and events at Bold Coffee Shop downtown Portland.
Yeah, I've been allowed to maybe be the guy that coined the word Spanbowerian,
which I can't pronounce. But
but there's a lot of us. A lot of us studied under Tom, going back in the early 90s, and finishing up in the early teens. Each of us have our own relationship with Tom, our own thing we might say. So I'm sponsoring a quarterly, or curating a quarterly thing at Bold Coffee and Books, Ali Shaw's new place. and we're calling it Steve Arndt and the Spambarians.
It sounds like a 60s band.
Yeah. So now October 17th is our next one, and we have Bradley Rosen. We have Monica Drake, Marco Malone, and David Simonello.
Wow, some all-stars.
Yeah. But there are people that are obscurely left behind in Tom's group that wrote beautiful things that we need to bring forward and introduce. And so I'm gonna be very deep into the group, hopefully, as time goes along.
Now, I'm talking about kind of exposing works that we might not know, to help showcase the Portland writing community, I asked all of you before the show to recommend a few books, especially ones you've read over the past year, maybe a few you're looking forward to in the next month or two. Carmel, you want to go ahead? We'll start with you.
Yeah, there's so many wonderful writers bringing out books, and some in the last year that I've really enjoyed were Omar El-Akkad's One Day Everyone Will Have Always Been Against This, Holly Brickley's Deep Cuts, Amy Mason Doane's The California Dreamers, Renee Denfeld's Sleeping Giants, and more recently, Nancy Townsley's Sunshine Girl.
Oh, what a great list.
But there's so many.
Yeah, I've done a few interviews with some of the writers. And Amy's actually coming up in December, I think.
Oh, wonderful.
For California Dreaming. Yeah. Gigi, what titles are on your list?
The first title I want to give a shout out to is Mo Davio's Epic and Lovely, which is just out, and her book launch is actually tonight.
At Annie Bloom's Books.
It's actually across the street from Annie Bloom's at a place called The Butterfly Effect, 7 o'clock tonight. So, and it's a fabulous, fabulous book. And yes, so, you know, like Carmel said, there are so many books that I'm afraid to, you know, miss all.
You'll leave something
out.
I'm
going to leave most of them out, but I want to make mention of Diane Greenwood's Blackbird Whistling, which also just came out. You had already mentioned Imagine a Door, which is Laura Stanfill's book about writing, which I think is important to mention since Portland, you know, Writers Picnic is all about writers, and this is a book for writers. Nightbird by Siobhan Scott. The Bequest by Susie Vitello is coming out very soon. Reading the Waves by Ludi Yuknovich, of course, that came out this year, I believe. That was
March.
Michael Keefe has a new book, Western Terminus. So many books.
Yes. Yeah. Steve, were there any books that we haven't mentioned yet that are on your list?
Well, I have to mention Imagine a Door. Laura is so brilliant, but she's also so human. I asked her once about her first novel. I said, what have people not said about your first novel? And she thought for it, she said, kindness. And I've kept that word in my repertoire of words, and I've allowed it more meaning than it used to have. Hmm. But I want to mention Gigi's book. I've been with her for a long time. And to do all the things she does, this asking the reader to suspend their reality and get that on the page in a way that the reader is taken care of. It's very hard work. That's doing the work of a writer. And I commend her on that. The sentences are beautiful. I like books where you read a paragraph, and in every paragraph there's a little surprise. It might be a thought, or it might be a couple of words next together that you never thought you'd ever see next to each other.
Well, Steve, Gigi, Carmel, thanks so much for joining us at KBOO. Wishing you good food, good company, and perfect weather on Sunday, and many more writers' picnics to come.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
We've been talking live in the KBOO studios with Steve Arndt, Gigi Little, and Carmel Branick about the 2025 Portland Writers Picnic, which takes place this Sunday, September 7th, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Laurelhurst Park, Picnic Area E. All Portland area writers and their families are welcome. Just bring a dish to share, something you'd like to drink, ice coolers, paper plates, silverware, and that wonderful feeling of community provided. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News In Depth.